the individual unit gets better and stronger because it keeps adding more third force and more atoms, using the vibratory pattern still existing and remembered from the ancient records and experiences of its past lives. We're talking about a process known as karma, reincarnation, resurrection of the flesh, the ye must be born again idea. I interrupted her. What about death in relation to the atom and this third force? I'm interested in hearing your opinions. These are not my opinions, she said. I haven't invented all this. Just like you, I had to learn these things at one time in one of my lives. I'm talking about cosmic laws that have been known throughout the galaxies for millions and millions of your terrestrial years. Rama, I'm sorry, I said. Please don't lose your patience with me. All right, she said, we're talking about common death as it's known on Earth, when your heart, lungs, brain and everything else, cease to function. To understand death a little better, let's make an analogy. Take a factory where 200 people work. Out of the 200, 10 are responsible for running the operation smoothly. One fine day these 10 individuals decide to quit all at the same time. Then you have chaos, confusion, anarchy, a mess. Now, compare this factory with the body of Joblo. The 200 workers are his heart, brains, ananas, blood, bones, veins, arteries, anionites, nervous system. The ananas and anionites are the ones running the show. One day they decide they no longer want to work for Joblo, and they split. Now the heart, brains, blood, bones, arteries, lungs and nervous system don't have the intelligent direction to organize and synchronize them properly, because the ananas and anionites are on strike. What happens? The blood flow can't coordinate with the heart, which in turn can't work with the brain, because there isn't enough oxygen coming in from the lungs. In short, you've got chaos, anarchy, confusion. Another mess. That's physiological death. You're saying that the spirit is what makes our bodies function? It's so simple. That's fantastic. I'm glad you like it. Now that you know and understand that your spirit is the third force, you can control it. You can take your ananas and anionites out of your body and transport them to any place. Nothing I'm telling you is unknown nor new to your planet. It's called astral projection. Remember when I mentioned mediums, spiritualists, exorcism? These powers derive from the control of this force. There are religions that base their entire teachings on taking the spirit out of the body. Lobsang Rampa and the Tibetan Lamas practice it. They're saying the same thing, that you can take your ananas and anionites away from your physical body for an outing. I've heard of this. If I remember correctly, Rampa goes to places where his physical body has never been. Right. His ananas and anionites, in the form of spirit, are the ones doing the traveling. This morning you and I communicated with each other mentally, using the third force as a common vehicle to establish it. I was receiving your thoughts as you wanted them to get to me, but you were so insecure, you wanted to use semantics. Yes, it was weird. I'm almost afraid to ask about it. I was in tune with you spiritually. Our ananas and anionites consolidated into one mass of spirit. What happens to the physical body while the spirit is out having a good time? The body stays put wherever you leave it, in a Kama-like state. You're completely out. The organs of your body keep on working, not as accurately as when you are fully conscious, but with the proper training, there's nothing to fear. Lobsang Rampa uses a term for the connection between the body and the spirit. He calls it the silver cord. That's the link, the liaison between body and spirit. Here, we have to use an analogy again. You're working at your 10th floor office and you have to go to the mailroom in the basement, then from there to the executive suite on the 14th floor. You ask your secretary to give you the paging beeper to keep in contact with your desk by an electrical radio frequency. Let's say your spirit wants to go for an outing tonight. Ananas and anionites decide to go and play some golf for a while. They set up the silver cord to keep in touch with the body. Then away they go. Your lungs, brain and heart keep working on automatic pilot, but are still in close contact with the spirit by a micro frequency, very elastic and mighty strong. As she spoke, I remembered coming across several books on this subject. The Third Eye, The Silver Cord, and You Forever. I'd read them and there were bits and pieces etched deeply in my memory. Also my friend Gracie, who studied metaphysics, had told me about going out of your body and taking fantastic trips, but at that time all this stuff was too far out for me. As I sat, somber and deep in thought, Rama put her arm on my shoulder and pointed to the positive signs on my pad. These signs make your soul, she said. They're constantly revitalizing your physical body. This is your thinking process, too. It can be projected to any point in the universe, depending on how you stretch it. Your thought is your soul. You transport thoughts, you're transporting ananas. The shape of the thought is a conglomeration of ananas. I don't understand you on that. Close your eyes. Mentally transport yourself somewhere. I followed her instructions to the corner of Broadway and 42nd Street in New York City. Then she said, I can see you're creating shapes. You see the high buildings, low U's theater, the Castro convertibles sign, the Times Square building, the entrance to a subway station. Now your thoughts have movement, I can see cars moving, a Fiat engine going down 7th Avenue. Rama, you're fantastic. How do you do that? Don't be impatient, my friend, you'll be able to do it, too. Want to do another one? Yes. This is fun. You go. I'll tell you. I mentally transported myself to Rådhuspladsen in Copenhagen, Denmark, and imagined going on a tram from Rådhuspladsen toward Victoria's Gate. I had a mental image of going past the entrance of Tivoli Gardens, the great SAS building at the corner, the Den Permanente department store. She began talking at that point. You are moving at about 40 miles an hour down the main road of Copenhagen, Denmark. Du er good. Mange tak, she said, which is thank you, in Danish. Rama, how many terrestrial languages do you speak? I asked, surprised at her command of yet another language. 27. And about 115 dialects. I was impressed. And becoming more and more interested in this third force and all the powers that apparently were connected to it. What about the negative signs, the anionites, can they be projected too? Yes, they can, and when they are, they manifest as light to the naked eye. When that happens, someone would say they'd seen a ghost. That's what ghosts are all about. So Casper the friendly ghost is ananas and anionites. I reflected. She nodded and continued. When you learn to control the anionites, to free them from your body, the phenomena of spiritism begins. What a medium does is facilitate his or her anionites to help other spirits materialize. What happens when the ananas and anionites project together, at the same time? Then you're able to reproduce at a distance your physical form, taking your thinking element with you. Your whole spirit, your complete third force energy goes wherever you want to take it, fully conscious, while your atomic structure sleeps peacefully somewhere. You're talking about physical and chemical phenomena now, right? That's right. All of this is pure science. There's nothing supernatural about it. No miracles, no magic. It's all part of the cosmic force, a manifestation of that vibratory center of the universe. God, if you want to approach it scientifically. What about the theories of spontaneous generation? The theory that life just spontaneously appeared at some point in time on this planet. There's no such thing. Once conditions are appropriate to sustain natural life in a world, this third energy, with the sanction of the eternal universal force of creation, God, individualizes and then organizes matter to create life. I studied the ego in college. That was the name given for individuality, or at least that's how I understood it. Until this moment I never had a clear idea of what the internal I really was, though. It's the counterpart of your cellular body. Now this whole confusing idea about reincarnation makes simple sense. Transformation of energy. Just ananas and ananites being transported from one body to another, if that's what you mean when you talk about eternal life. I reckon I've been a little too dense to understand this. No, you're not that dense. No one has ever taken time to explain it to you in simple terms. These concepts are in the minds of people. Some know of its existence, or suspect this force, but they don't understand it. They'd use it, however. How? Mediums, spiritists, witches, parapsychologists, telepaths, they all have to use the third energy as a tool. And the evidence of their using it is called magic, the supernatural, witchcraft, the world beyond. I remember the famous statement made by the French philosopher, René Descartes, I think, therefore I exist. That's it. He was saying that to recognize his existence he had to know his spirit first. Exactly. To think is to create. By triggering certain electrical charges, your brain starts thinking. By thinking, you create forms and shapes, igniting a number of ananas. These move in the air, all with charges of equal chemistry. When they mingle with ananites, your thought is materialized, because ananas and ananites organize matter. Is that how you always know what I'm thinking? There's more to it than that. Watch this, here on this rock. The rock was about the size of an average coffee table. Since we were sitting down, it was like a table to us. Now, I want you to concentrate, Rama said. Let's make believe I have a can of aerosol spray in my hand. The label on the can reads, Thoughts Materializer. Now, make a mental image of something. Don't tell me what it is. Don't close your eyes. I imagined a brown felt toy bear with round ears up, glass buttoned eyes, embroidered nose and mouth with a piece of red fabric giving the impression it was sticking out its tongue. Rama went through the sounds and motions of spraying the rock with her make-believe can. Then right before my eyes, the teddy bear that was only a thought in my mind took shape. It had become real. Incredibly, I saw it materialize on the rock. I felt the hair raise on the back of my neck as a thrill of panic rushed through my whole body. This was no joke, or entertaining magic trick. I was so frightened that to my ignorant mind, I thought this was the work of the devil. I sat there, staring, dumbfounded, unable to believe what I was seeing. Rama broke the spell with an outburst of laughter. She picked up the bear and hit me on the head with it, then tossed it into the river. Well, big man, she said, so you've been through a lot, huh? You're such a tough guy that nothing I do or tell you can shock you. A little act of magic and you fall apart. Come on, you need a break. Let's go get some wine. It's getting chilly for you. Put on your jacket. Followed her instructions, mumbling under my breath, now you're starting to sound like a Jewish mother. There's nothing supernatural nor magical about what you just saw. It isn't even anything super spectacular. Here on your planet a person could easily bend metal with his or her thoughts, or make a seed germinate and even grow in the palm of a hand. Or heal a paraplegic and change water into wine. You're saying that thinking in itself is capable of changing and even creating matter? Only when the proper magnetic, electrical and chemical conditions are present. There was no reason for you to freak out like that down there now that you know what this force is. I know, but that's why I was so reluctant to come out openly in the beginning. It takes time just to get to know one another. Charles, you're just beginning. The fun is about to start. You have yet to take a little trip out of your body. The panic returned. Are you kidding? You're out of your mind. Why not? It's the only way you can get to live forever. To use religious terminology, it is the key to the kingdom of heaven. Knowing how to take your spirit out of your body is the first step to eternal life. What makes you think I could do that? Everyone can. Did you see the movie, Jesus Christ Superstar? Sure. I was involved in its promotion throughout Latin America. Then you must remember a song Jesus sings. It goes like this: there is not one of you who cannot win the kingdom, the slow, the suffering, the quick, the dead. Yes, I remember, I said, trying to understand the meaning of the lyrics she was quoting. That's what Jesus was saying. Anybody can do it. He wasn't talking about astral projection. No, but he was telling us what to do to prepare our bodies for it. How long do you think it would take me to train myself to do this? We could start tonight, if you want to. That is, if you can rid yourself of your fears and doubts. Tonight? The sooner the better. Would you be with me? Of course. All right. I'll give it a try. God. Do I need a drink? Now you see why I wanted you straight, sober, conscious, and with a clear mind. I wanted you to see for yourself I wasn't playing tricks on you. I want you to be fully aware that whatever goes on here is neither the product of your imagination nor the result of drugs. Yes, I understand. When we start taking your spirit out of your body, you'll have to be relaxed, but unafraid. I was anything but relaxed at that moment. As usual, Rama sensed my feelings. Take the police bike out for a while, and go riding, she said. Let your mind go. When you come back, you'll feel refreshed. Are you hungry? No, not really. I suggest you have a light meal. If we're going to try it, I don't think it would be a good idea to do it on a full stomach. There's a bit of yoga involved in this. Where are we going to do it? Anywhere. It really doesn't matter. Preferably in a place where you can be comfortable. This hotel isn't exactly the Holiday Inn, but it does have a good bed and a chair if you want me to be lying down, I suggested. I know. She said, brightening. We'll do it in the bathhouse. In the water. Make sure you get the keys to the bathhouse from the woman. All right, I will. I'll see you later. I'll come back and get you. When you bring the motorcycle back, hide it behind the hotel. Out of sight. I'll be spending the night with you. If you don't mind me sleeping with you, that is. Now I was really feeling like my old self again. Come on, Rama, I said, teasingly. You know darned well I can always make room for a pretty lady like you in my bed. Besides, I thought you'd never ask. Now go give your mind a break, she said. We'll see each other tonight. It was a little past 4 in the afternoon. I went to the hotel and had a glass of sherry before going out on the patrol bike. My head was aching. I realized I still hadn't adjusted to the shock I'd experienced when Rama revealed her startling ability to play with reality the way a child plays with a toy. My mind was racing as I got on the motorcycle and headed toward Huangkeo. I was excited by the matter-of-fact way Rama had invited herself to spend the night with me. Not that it would be an unusual occurrence in my promiscuous career, but her complete trust unnerved me. Rama was very confident. And probably well able to take care of herself. Maybe this was her way of making me relax and feel comfortable with her. I thought about the way she called me her pet, her little experiment. I felt good when I was with her. Still, I wondered with some apprehension what was in store for me. If she had wanted to drug or hypnotize me, she had already had many opportunities. I found myself beginning to accept that she was an alien being to this planet. But for an alien, she knew a lot about the planet Earth. She could quote books and names in any field, like an encyclopedia. And she had some very powerful tools besides knowledge. As I came near a village called Paco, I stopped to admire one of the most beautiful vistas I'd ever seen. I've seen many enchanting places in many different countries: Japan, Austria, Switzerland, England, Germany. But this particular spot in the Andes Mountains of Peru was truly spectacular. I thought, no wonder the ETs have been landing here for thousands of years. I stayed there for nearly an hour, letting myself be nourished by the stillness and beauty all around me. The sun disappeared behind a chain of purple-hued mountains. I felt a deep peace and intense inspiration within, more so than I'd ever known before. It was like a spark inside me was beginning to flicker and grow brighter. I'd never suspected such a feeling could exist. It was better than any high I'd ever experienced, even with the best pot. The feeling was coming from someplace deeper than my mind or my body, it was within my soul, my spirit, or as Rama might say, within my ananas and ananites. As soon as the sun went down, it started getting cold. Too cold to be riding around on a motorcycle. I went back to Akaya, got into my rented car and drove to a nearby town called Jaw. I had a light meal there, per Rama's instructions. Afterwards, I looked around the town. Jaw is a quaint little town, very clean and serene. As usual, I talked to natives of the community. I was told the climate in this area was very conducive to the curing of tuberculosis. I found a movie house, bought a ticket and enjoyed a few hours' relaxation. Chapter 7. My first extraterrestrial love. It was a little past 9 when I arrived in Akaya. I went to the back of the hotel to check on the police motorcycle. It was there, covered with burlap, where I had left it earlier that evening. The hotel was in complete darkness. The diesel motors which produced electrical power for the whole complex had broken down. I went back to my car to get a flashlight and then walked to the restaurant to see if Rama was there. She wasn't. I remembered she'd said she would be coming up for a swim, but I'd had a full day and wasn't in the mood for swimming. Since Rama had said we should work and sleep whenever we wanted to, I picked up a few candles, the keys to the bathhouse, and a gas lamp and went to my room. After lighting a candle, I lay on top of the bed with my clothes still on and fell asleep. I was awakened by Rama's touch as she tenderly massaged my forehead and the sides of my head with the palms of her hands. She was wearing a heavy parka jacket with synthetic fur around the hood. I hadn't even heard her coming. I checked my watch, it was a little after 11 p.m, still Saturday. She lit another candle as the one I'd had burning was melted down to its holder. In the soft candlelight, Rama's exotic beauty seemed to stand out in relief in the room. Her dark, almond-shaped eyes gazed at me penetratingly. Her looks fascinated me, not quite Oriental or Chinese, a mysterious blend of human cultures organizing in the features of one beautiful face. 120 basking happily in the caressing motions of her hands, I asked, "Are all the girls in your world as lovely as you? What do you think?" She answered non-committally, "Rama, you're answering my question with another question. Don't you want to answer? In my world, people are equal. We are as beautiful as you can see. But we don't try to compete for beauty because it's evenly distributed among everyone." I decided to change the subject. I wanted to find out if she would still hold me to our appointment in the pool this evening. "Are you going to take me swimming? Do you want to?" she asked, again answering a question with another question. "Well," I said, "unsure, I know what is supposed to happen down there. I'm a little edgy about it. I don't know about this astral projection bit, taking your spirit out of your body. What's your question?" she demanded. "My question is it safe? Shouldn't there be some kind of preparation?" "Yes, there is a preparation period in order to completely master this whole operation. But only in your world. Because people here don't understand the workings of ananas and ananites. Even those who perform miracles." "Are you talking about the Houdinis, who perform acts of magic? The modern prophets? The people who hold seances? The spiritists?" "Yes, they use the third force energy without really understanding it. They do their magic act, they've learned to condition their bodies so they can do their number, but I doubt they even suspect this force we are calling ananas and ananites. I had my palm read by a woman one day at the Santa Monica Pier in California. She was about 85% right about the things she told me. That's pretty accurate for the $3.50 I paid her. What sort of preparation would that woman have to possess that type of insight? She has a gift of nature. She's sensitive to vibrations, certain charges of electric and magnetic energy coming from the people with whom she comes in contact. She processes those vibrations into thought forms, images, ideas. Let me demonstrate, give me your hand. The first thing they do is hold your palm like this, she said, taking my hand in hers, palm up. Then they usually take the index finger to make it follow the lines in your palm. By doing this, they ignite the person's vibrations. The electrical energies of the two people mix, creating a connection between the reader and the readee. By touching the readee's palm, the reader merges with the other's spirit and energy. The reader learns about the other person, understanding what he or she is thinking and feeling, through mental images or waves that come in flashes, in the form of vibrations. Remember, vibes are electric and magnetic energy. It's a simple case of mental telepathy on the part of the reader. Some people possess strong vibrations, others weak ones. A person's vibrations change according to many variables, including mood, health, state of mind, emotions. If someone has just gotten good news, bad news, a surprise, or feels happiness or pain, their energy becomes either stronger or weaker, depending on the circumstances. One of the important things you have to learn in order to prepare to take your spirit out of your body is to control your vibrations so the ananas and anionites work at an even frequency. How do you learn to control your vibrations so they operate at an even frequency? You have to be relaxed, at peace with yourself. Do you remember that Mazda commercial, that even humming, how relaxing it was, contrasted with the distorted sounds you hear just before that? Yes, I remember it. That's what I mean. Your ananas and anionites must be humming at an even pace, at the right beat. Why? Can you imagine what would happen to someone's spirit traveling out of his body 50 times faster than the speed of light? If his ananas and anionites had to return to his body at that speed, without warning the silver cord, they'd get distorted. That would create great upheaval and imbalance to his nervous system. Many people in your world are now in mental institutions as a result of having been awakened too abruptly while sleepwalking. I know you shouldn't wake up a person who's sleepwalking. What connection does that have to being out of your body? It's the same phenomena. When you take your spirit out of your body, you're unconscious, the same as a sleepwalker. After tonight you'll understand better. Once you do it yourself, you'll sense what I'm talking about. Then I'll be able to explain in more detail. I don't know what to say, Rama, I said. I was feeling very apprehensive about the experiment she was proposing. Chicho, I'm telling you two things. One, relax and trust me. Equally important is that you shouldn't fool with this unless you're fairly certain of what you're doing. If you're not at peace, you could become possessed by evil forces. But I'm going to be your guide. I'll be helping you. By now you should be able to trust me and cooperate. You've just said I shouldn't fool around with this unless I can handle it. I think I'll take a rain check on this. I really don't think I'm prepared. Besides, I could be invoking the devil. Oh no, you're not taking any rain check. Your fears and doubts will completely disappear as soon as you start astral traveling. I promise, Chucho. Will I feel as wonderful and relaxed as I felt this afternoon? Even better. Don't worry, we're just going to go for a swim, chat, relax a bit. You know what this water does for you, those tiny bubbles all over your skin. Let's take some candles and firewood, so we can make it even cozier, all right? How could I say no to this beautiful creature? You make it sound so inviting, I said. We got a few things together, some heavy blankets and all the gear we needed to warm ourselves, and headed to the bathhouse. It was cold outside, but it was such a pleasure being with Rama, it was easy to overcome my reluctance to get up and go out again. We started a fire, then took off our clothes and jumped quickly into the pool, which always seemed hotter in the freezing weather. By now, bathing in the nude with Rama seemed perfectly natural. This evening, though, there was a sense of specialness and anticipation. The warmth and carbonation in the water affected me like an overpowering aphrodisiac. Every part of my body felt as if it were being fondled by each tiny bubble, both soothing and exciting. I looked at Rama next to me, her beautiful face and form bathed in the soft golden light cast by the fire. She took my hands and began playfully pulling me closer to her. Erotic images leapt to my mind. We were in the perfect setting for a love scene.